Thank you, Jack. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Samuel this evening, 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. The title of my sermon tonight is The Father's Joy. The Father's Joy. How can we bring joy to our Heavenly Father? How can we bring joy to our Heavenly Father? 1 Samuel chapter 25. I'd like for us to read verses 1 to 3. And Samuel, verse 1, died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Verse number 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray that you would give us your heart, O Lord, and a heart for thee. And I pray that you would speak and minister to our hearts this evening. Lord, quicken our minds, fill us with the Holy Spirit. May our attentiveness, our response to your word, glorify the Lord Jesus this evening. In his name we pray. Amen. How can we bring joy to our Heavenly Father? In Matthew chapter 3, our Lord Jesus, God the Son, brought joy to God the Father when he was baptized. It was God the Father who said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." How can we bring joy to our Heavenly Father? As we study this chapter, part of the life of David, I'd like for us to see how we can be a source of joy to our Heavenly Father. In Philippians 4:1, the Apostle Paul said to the Philippian church, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." The Apostle Paul made reference to these believers as a source of joy as he meditated upon their commitment to their Lord. The Apostle Paul said, "You are my joy. You bring joy to my heart." It's a wonderful thought to think that you and I can be the source of joy in the life of another. For those of us that have had the privilege of having children, we understand what it means to be filled with joy as a result of these dear, precious lives. For those of you that are grandparents as well, you probably appreciate and understand the principle of a grandchild bringing joy to your soul. Let me encourage you this evening that all of us are called upon to give joy, not grief, to our Heavenly Father. The Father's joy. How can we bring joy to our Heavenly Father? Are we a source of joy to God the Father? That's the question I'd like to answer this evening. Let's begin our study in 1 Samuel chapter 25 by noting very briefly the patrons, not the patron saints, the patrons, the individuals within this chapter. Well, first and foremost, here in verse number 1, there is a reference to the man of God, David himself. David with his men continued their flight from King Saul. So this is still the context of this chapter. David, the new king of the nation of Israel, not formally, positionally king as yet. But yes, anointed king is still on the run, and Saul is still out to kill him. But also here in 1 Samuel 25, there is a reference to a married couple. A man by the name of Nabal, and a woman by the name of Abigail. I'd like for us to note first and foremost Nabal, who is mentioned here in verse number 2 and 3. First of all, we are told of Nabal that Nabal was a man of great possession. Note then verse number 2, the Bible teaches us this man lived in Maon, but he had his possessions, he had livestock there in Carmel. The man was very great. Now that is not in reference to his character. That is in reference to his wealth. This man was a very wealthy man. And that was evident by the livestock that he owned. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And this is how a person's wealth was measured in that day. In our day, you measure wealth by the car they drive and the suburb they live in and the brand name clothing that they wear. So nothing much has really changed. Okay, so back in this setting, he was a very wealthy man. That was evident because of the livestock that he possessed. The Bible also teaches us that Nabal was not only a wealthy man, but the Bible teaches us in verse number 3 that this man was churlish. It's an old English word which literally means to be rude. He was a rude, bad-spirited man. He was a rude man. I looked this up in the dictionary, and the dictionary said churlish. Define this word as to being rude with a mean spirit. This was the type of man that Nabal was. And the Bible goes also on to teach us in verse number 3 about this man called Nabal, that he was also an evil man. Evil in all his doings. He was a wealthy man, but he was a bad-spirited man, and he was a very crude, rude individual that was known for his evil doings. In other words, he was a bad man. Okay? We often make reference to people being a good man. He's a good man. But Nabal was the absolute opposite. He was a bad man. He was evil in his doings, the Bible teaches us. But also note in verse number 3, we're also told that Nabal's pedigree was good. He came from the house of Caleb. So he had good pedigree. Caleb was one of the 12 spies. Caleb and Joshua, the men that said to God's people, let's go in and let's possess all that God has for us. So he had good pedigree, but he certainly didn't live up to the family name. Nabal, in essence, lived in luxury materially, but spiritually he was bankrupt and destitute. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That was Nabal, a nasty, rude, mean-hearted, evil, selfish man. By the way, the word Nabal means fool. Fool, that's what it means. In fact, it's interesting, the Hebrew word for Nabal is the same word translated fool in Psalm 14 verse 1. Where the Bible teaches the fool, the Nabal, have said in his heart, there is no God. That's what his name means. So parents, upcoming parents, I would not encourage you to call your next son Nabal. Not a good name. You do better with Caleb. At least Caleb sounds good, but mind you, that means a dog. That's not much better. So Nabal was a nasty individual, but the interesting thing is, as we read on, that he had a wonderful wife. A woman by the name of Abigail. Note then verse number 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. Now note what the Bible has to say about Nabal's wife, Abigail. In verse number 3, the Bible teaches us she was a woman of good understanding. That means she was a wise, prudent woman. But also the Bible teaches us that Abigail was a woman of a beautiful countenance. That means that Abigail was not only a wise, prudent individual, but also she was a lady that was very beautiful to look upon, not only outwardly, but also her demeanor conveyed beauty. And where it reads that she was of a beautiful countenance, that goes far deeper than just the exterior. She was not only attractive outwardly, she was a beautiful woman to look upon, but also it conveys the thought that she was a woman that conveyed a beautiful demeanor. She had a wonderful spirit. And so it's not just in reference to her outward beauty. No doubt she was a very attractive woman, but also her spirit was beautiful. Her demeanor was beautiful. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communication corrupt good manners. And praise the good Lord, this wasn't evident in this story. No doubt this was, and as it was very common within that culture, that young people were married off. They practiced arranged marriages. And it could well be that Abigail's parents matched her with Nabal simply because he had a lot of money, very wealthy. And that's understandable in a sense, but obviously the parents did not consider his qualities spiritually, of which he had none. So that's why it would seem odd that such a beautiful woman, a woman of such a great spirit and so much wisdom, marry a fool. That seems contradictory, does it not? And the only way you can explain that is the culture of the day and the arranged marriages that was very evident within this Jewish culture. And no doubt Nabal would not allow her good to influence him, but neither did his evil influence her. One author said concerning Abigail, a wonderful woman married to a wretched man. She was pretty, prudent, and practical. He was pathetic, putrid, and proud. And within this story, we go on and we read, and we note here in verse number 4 that David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And from verses 4 to 11, we find what I refer to as the petition within this story. And the essence of this petition is that in rewarding David's services in protecting Nabal's flocks, David simply requested of Nabal some basic provisions, bread and water for his men. David's men were responsible for protecting Nabal's flocks and Nabal's servants against the Philistines and the Amalekites. Note then verses 15 and 16, but the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. So basically the testimony is this, that Nabal had all of this wealth, he had all of this livestock, and during their grazing period, David's men were responsible, took upon themselves to provide some protection for Nabal's possession. And in return for that, David just simply sent a request to Nabal and requested of Nabal that Nabal would be so kind to provide some provisions for his men. If you read on here in verses 10 and 11, please. So let's just back up and read verse number 8. Ask thy young men that they will show thee, wherefore let the young men find favour in thine eyes, for we be come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants, and to thy son David. So basically David sends two men to Nabal and simply requests some provisions for their efforts in caring for Nabal's livestock, their possessions. Now the Bible teaches us this was a time of shearing. The sheep were being sheared, and this was a festive time, just like harvest time. During harvest time, during shearing time, that was a given opportunity to demonstrate charity to those in need. So David knew that. David understood this was the right time to request some help. He didn't ask for gold and silver. He simply requested fresh water and bread for his men. That's all. Really a drop in the bucket compared to what Nabal had in wealth. Nabal not only rejects David's request, according to verses 10 and 11, but he charges him as a renegade, a scoundrel, an individual that is anti-authority and divisive. Note then verse number 10, and Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away, every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" Verse 12, so David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. So basically the petition is made before Nabal, and Nabal basically charges David as a renegade, as a scoundrel, as a man that is anti and contrary, working contrary to the king's authority. And this news was brought back to David. And note here in verses 12 and 13, "So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings." Note verse 13. "And David said unto his men, gird on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And they went up after David, about 400 men, and 200 abode by the sun." So now we come to the peril within this story. Upon David hearing this report, that David had no interest in helping David and his men, he was angered. He was angered to the point that he commanded his men to arm themselves that they might attack Nabal's house. David was full of indignation for the harsh treatment received by a foolish, stingy, selfish, rude, mean-hearted, and bad example of humanity. It made him furious. And he said, "Arm yourselves, men. We're going to get this Nabal. We're going to fix him." You might say, "Well, Pastor, that's very inconsistent." On the one hand, David offers his services to Nabal's men and provides protection for Nabal's wealth, and now he doesn't receive any reward for his efforts, and now he's going to kill and destroy Nabal's family, and that included Abigail. That's inconsistent, you might say. Well, his inconsistency is not unique. We all have the same problem, don't we, from time to time, of not being consistent. Well, Abigail is told of the situation by one of the young men, verses 14 to 16. Note there, verse 14, "But one of the young men told Abigail." Basically, Abigail was informed concerning this situation. And then note then verse 17, "Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." So this young man basically told Abigail the situation. And at the end of it, this young man says, "Abigail, so what are we going to do?" Let me go back and just define for you Abigail. The Bible teaches us that she was a woman of wisdom, a woman of prudence. The Bible teaches us she was a woman of a beautiful countenance. She was not only a woman that was beautiful outwardly, but she had a beautiful spirit. I'd like for you to consider, I've mentioned already that Nabal means fool, but may I submit to you what the name Abigail means? I'm sure, Abigail, you know what your name means. Or you're about to know what your name means. It's made up of two words, Abi, Abba, Father, Father, Abba, Father, Abi, Gail, Joy, Father's Joy, Abi, Gail. What a beautiful name. Abigail, Father's Joy. That's what Abigail was. She was the Father's joy. She was her Heavenly Father's joy. And she was asked the question, so what do we do in this situation? And as we study the life of Abigail this evening, I'd like to just highlight some of the qualities in Abigail's life that will bring joy to our Heavenly Father. That's what the name means, Abigail. Father's Abi, Abba, Father, Abigail, joy, the Father's joy. Let's see in this story how Abigail saved the day and brought joy to her Heavenly Father. In essence, Abigail was the peacemaker within this story. From verses 17 all the way through to verse number 30, we read of Abigail's response to this difficult situation that her husband had created. First and foremost, I'd like for us to note concerning Abigail, one of the great qualities that Abigail had was that from verses 14 to 16, she took responsibility of this situation. As the young man reported to her concerning what had happened, she listened with intensity. No doubt she could be trusted with this problem, and she took responsibility of the situation. And we see this in the life of Abigail. And I believe that is a quality that will bring our Heavenly Father great joy. Would you like to be a source of joy in the heart of God the Father? But may I submit to you, if we are to be a source of joy to our Heavenly Father, we need to take responsibility. We need to be people of responsibility. We need to take ownership of that which God provides for us. She took responsibility of this situation. She wasn't careless. She took responsibility of this situation. In verse number 17, she was asked the question, now what are we going to do about it? She could have said, well, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. I didn't create this. No, she, being a spiritual, prudent woman, she took responsibility of her lot. And may God help us to take responsibility for what God has entrusted in our cares. We all have responsibilities, do we not? You have a responsibility as a father to guide your children, fathers, this evening. You have a responsibility as a Christian to live holy and godly in spite of the world. Do we not have a responsibility to be a soul winner? Brethren, if we want to bring joy to our Heavenly Father, we need to be people that gladly take ownership of the responsibilities that God has entrusted to us. Secondly, I'd like for us to note concerning Abigail, the Father's joy, is that Abigail did not waste any time. Note then verse 18, then Abigail made haste. See, time belongs to God. I mentioned last week that God is the author of time, is He not? He is outside of time. He is eternal. But God brought time into existence. In the beginning, God. Time belongs to God. And because time is not our own, the Bible rightfully reads, redeem the time. And one of the great qualities in the life of Abigail that I see within this passage of Scripture is that Abigail did not waste any time. She redeemed her time. And thirdly, I'd like for us to note here in verse number 18 that Abigail was the father's joy because Abigail was, thirdly, generous. She was not only a responsible individual, and if you want to bring joy to God the Father, take responsibility for your life. Children, take responsibility for your duties. Take responsibility for your schooling, young people. Take responsibility to keep your room clean, young people. Take responsibility of that job that you have that provides some part-time income. Take responsibility of what you have in your care. That brings joy to God the Father. Abigail didn't waste time. Thirdly, Abigail was generous with her giving. Note then, verse number 18, she took 200 loaves. 200! Two bottles of wine. Five sheep ready dressed. That means five sheep slaughtered, cut, ready to be barbecued. Butchered, ready to go. Five measures of parched corn. And 100 clusters of raisin, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on a number of asses. We see that Abigail wasn't stingy. David did not demand of Nabal gold and silver, didn't demand any sheep or goats. David just simply requested, basically said to Nabal, whatever you would like to give me as a gift, it's really up to you. And obviously his expectation was basically bread and water. And we see in the life of Abigail a generous spirit. She was generous with her giving. The Bible teaches us the liberal soul shall be made fat. That means the liberal soul, the generous soul shall be satisfied. She gave him her best. She wasted no time. She was generous. And may I submit to you, brethren, this evening, that God the Father is rejoicing when God's people are generous with their resources. She gave out of her wealth, her abundance, but Nabal, boy, what a nasty, stingy little individual he was. Would you like to bring the Father joy? Would you like to be Abigail, the Father's joy? Be generous. I'm thankful that I'm a part of a generous church. We give more funds to missions than what we keep back home. I'm thankful for that. And God bless you for that. And I believe that's why God has blessed this church. That's why we have a church building that's paid for. That's why we have a church mass that's paid for. That's why we have a Bible college property that is paid for, because God's people in this place over the years have understood the principle of generosity. God has never blessed stinginess. Right. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm very tight with what I have, and you've just got no idea how much I've got. Well, I'd like to say to you, my friend, you'd have a whole lot more if you let go. You'd have a whole lot more, you stingy scoundrel. That's what you are. Stinginess does not please God. That's not Abigail in the sight of God. God never blessed stinginess. God blesses generosity. That's the Bible principle. But also note that Abigail was courageous in doing right. Note then verse number 20. Now she knew that David with his men were out to kill Nabal's family, and that included her. Note then verse 20. And it was so that she rode on the ass, and she came down by the covert of the hill, And behold, David and his men came down against it, and she met them. I see courage in the life of this lady. Courage. Courageous in doing right. It takes some courage to do what's right, does it not? It takes some courage to be a witness, does it not? It takes some courage to confront a friend. Iron sharp as iron. It takes some courage. It takes courage to serve the Lord. It takes courage to do what is right. Abigail was no wimp. She was full of courage. She set those supplies before her and she said, I'll be following not far behind. She could have had a host of men with her. She could have. She came from a wealthy family. But she chose to take responsibility for the ill of her husband, and she alone sought to reconcile the situation. We see courage in the life of Abigail. Courage brings joy to God the Father. But also note in verse number 23, she had a respect for the man of God. When Abigail saw David, she hastened and lightened off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Abigail, the father's joy, had a respect for the man of God. She understood who David was. Nabal had no respect for the man of God. He said, who is David? That's a lie. He knew exactly who David was. He just lied through his teeth. Who is this David? He knew who David was. Mark my words. He knew exactly who he was. But what a wonderful contrast we see in the life of Abigail. A woman that had a respect for authority. All authority stems back to God. I don't like it. I mean, I'm not really awfully fond of our Prime Minister, to be honest with you. I don't believe God blesses a woman Prime Minister. It violates God's chain of authority. It's as simple as that. But she's still our Prime Minister. I don't like it when people make fun of our Prime Minister. That's disrespectful. No matter who it is, she's our Prime Minister. We ought to pray for her instead of make fun of her. See? I don't like that. Abigail, the father's joy. You can bring joy to God the Father by having a healthy respect for those in authority. Respect the man of God, not because the man of God is perfect, but the man of God is God's man for the hour. Amen. And God will bless you for that. Amen. Esteem them highly for their work's sake, the Bible teaches us. Another quality in Abigail's life was that she sought reconciliation in this situation. She tried to intercede on the behalf of her husband. And that was evident there in verse number 24, please. And fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Another quality in Abigail's life that will bring joy to God the Father is when you and I try to intercede for one another and have a determination to reconcile our differences. That is pleasing to God the Father. Abigail said to David, listen, I'm here before you because I want to set things right. There's a problem here. My husband's done wrong and I want to reconcile. I want to set things right. That's pleasing to God the Father. She tried to intercede on the behalf of her husband. See? It was God the Son that sought reconciliation between God the Father and you and I. God loves reconciliation. That's God's will. But when the child of God does not want to reconcile, then that does not please God the Father. Well, somebody say amen. When people storm off and leave this church without the pastor's blessing and they have no desire to get things right, that's not pleasing to God the Father. But I can assure you this pastor tries time and time again to reconcile and to reconcile and to reconcile, but there are people that just will not reconcile. That doesn't please God the Father. That's not the type of people you want to spend time with because they're going to influence you. That's not godliness. Abigail brought joy to God the Father because she wanted to reconcile this situation. Matthew chapter 18 is still in the Bible, is it not? Reconciliation pleases God the Father. And when you find yourself in a situation where there is a problem with you or and a brother and sister in Christ, for example, if you want to please God the Father, if you want to make God the Father joyful, seek reconciliation. It pleases God the Father. Look at verse number 25. Abigail was also honest. Look at verse 25. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. She's talking about her husband here. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly or foolishness is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. She said, listen, I wasn't aware of what had taken place. Maybe if I'd been there, maybe I could have done something, but I know my husband. She described the husband as, he's a fool. I know he's a fool. I know he's done wrong. So what do we see in Abigail's life? She was honest. God loves honesty. God the Father is pleased with honesty. She wasn't a hypocrite. It tires me so much when I see God's people living a hypocritical life. That is dishonorable to Almighty God. Why be a hypocrite? Let's pull that mask aside and let's be genuine for God's glory. Amen? Let's stop playing games. And this is what Abigail, it was evident Abigail's wife, she was honest. She said, look, my husband, he is a fool. He's a fool. He really is. I wish I had known about this situation. Maybe I could have done something to resolve. But my husband, I admit, there, he is a fool. She was honest. Hypocrisy is deadly. May God help us as his people not to tolerate hypocrisy. Let's be honest. The next quality I'd like for us to note in the life of Abigail was that she was genuine in her desire. She appealed to David to receive this gift. Note then verse 27, now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. Note the genuineness in this woman. She appeals to David, please will you take this gift? I genuinely want this situation to be reconciled. And we need a brand of genuine Christianity, do we not? Real Christians. Real Christians that really love the Lord. Not hypocrisy. The Lord Jesus said of the Pharisees that you are just full of dead man's bones. And I believe what is hurting Christianity today more than anything else is the hypocrisy. Even within our independent fundamental Baptist churches. Hypocrisy. May God deliver us and be the real McCoy. The real McCoy. It's going to hurt our children to no end. You're listening to me, adults? Your hypocrisy is going to hurt your children. Hypocrisy kills the spirit. It'll hurt our children. May God help us to be genuine. She had a genuine desire to appeal for reconciliation. There was genuineness there. She wasn't a glorified car salesman. You know, she wasn't just after a sale. She wanted genuine reconciliation. But also note that in verse 28 we see humility. Humility in asking for forgiveness. Note verse 28. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Note the humility, the request for forgiveness. Forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. She took responsibility of her husband's ill doing, and she said, please, will you forgive us? Will you forgive us? That brings joy to God the Father, does it not? When you and I are humble enough to simply say, I'm sorry. Please, forgive me. I'm sorry. Let's practice. Let's say that together. I'm sorry. It's
So you can do it. One more time. I'm sorry. Let's go to the next step. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Let's pray together. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. See, you can do it. That puts a smile on God the Father's face. When you and I are prepared to say that, I've done the wrong thing. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Abigail, the father's joy. And we don't have time to focus upon verses 29, 30, 31, but may I just quickly just say that basically Abigail continued to appeal to David and basically said to David, David, look, this is not real. This is not the real battle that you need to worry about. You don't really need to be worrying about my foolish husband, you know. You've got Saul out there trying to kill you. You've got more important work to do than worry about my foolish husband. She had a wonderful spirit. And she basically went on to say to David, David, I believe that God has something very special for you. And I believe that it would be, I just would like to appeal to you, David, please don't. Don't carry through what you want to do at this time, because it's going to hurt you. So with humility, she asked for forgiveness, and she basically encouraged David to consider what you're doing. Keep your focus upon the real battle. She had some wisdom, this woman. And that's wisdom, is it not? To focus upon the real battle at hand. And said to David, God has something very special for you. Note David's response, please, in verses 32 and 33. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. Note verse 33, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with thine own hand. Wow, David took counsel from a woman, from a wise woman. David takes counsel of Abigail. He responds wisely by being able to take reproof. And brethren, may I say to you, the ability to take a compliment is one thing, but it's a greater thing to take a rebuke in the right spirit. You can note the mark of a man, he or she, in their ability to take a compliment, but also he or she's ability to take a rebuke in the right spirit, that gives you the mark of that individual. David took Abigail's advice. And basically, Abigail said to David, indirectly, God will take care of my husband. And God did. Verses 36 to 38, the Bible teaches us that Nabal dies. And God doesn't need our help in taking care of evildoers. He's able to judge without our help. Abigail just basically encouraged David, David, you just continue doing what you're meant to be doing and God will take care of my foolish husband. And God did. Verses 36 to 38 teaches that very fact. Verse 38, the Bible reads, and the Lord smote Nabal that he died. And so you would if God smote you. Well, the story doesn't end there. God takes care of Abigail. And may I submit to you, my friend, when you and I are purposeful in wanting to bring joy to God the Father, God will take care of you. When you take responsibility for your actions, when you are diligent to use your time wisely, when you and I are generous, courageous, have a respect for authority, seek reconciliation, we are honest, we are genuine, we are full of humility, God will take care of us. God took care of Abigail. David was so impressed with Abigail, he married her. The Bible teaches that in verse number 42. Now, if that was you and I, we'd be impressed with Abigail. She was fit to be married, a widow. God took care of her foolish husband. And David had enough sense to say, that's a wise woman. She'll make a good wife. Let me ask you this evening, does your life bring joy to our Heavenly Father? Abigail was a source of joy through her godly character. What about you? Abby, Gail, Father, Joy, the Father's Joy. Big name to live up to, Abigail, isn't it? But don't worry, all of us are meant to be an Abigail. Are we not? Aren't we all here to bring joy to our Heavenly Father? When you and I exercise humility in seeking forgiveness when that's in order, when you and I convey genuineness and we're honest and we seek reconciliation, when you and I are respectful to those in authority, when you and I courageously do right, when you and I are generous and are diligent with our time and we take responsibility for our actions, this brings joy to God the Father. Does your life bring joy to our Heavenly Father? Are you an Abigail? That's our challenge this evening. Let's bow for prayer.